welcome to the GovX Data Points podcast, where we talk all things government and data. I'm Sharon Paley. My co-host Eric Reese is out on assignment this week, so thanks for bearing with me as I fly solo. Well, not exactly solo. Today, we are talking about data standards, so GovX's own Andrew Nicklin will be joining us as a guest. As many of you know, Andrew is our Director of Data Practices. Our second guest today is Rachel Bloom, who is now a project lead for Open Smart Cities at Open North, but previously was with McGill University. On this episode, we will investigate not just data standards, but what we believe is the first data standards directory of its kind, which is being launched this week. The Data Standards Directory, which is memorably available online at datastandards.directory, is the result of a partnership between GovX and GeoThink at McGill University. So let's go to the interview with Rachel and Andrew and find out more about the directory, how it came to be, and who's going to benefit from it. Thanks for joining us today. We're really glad to have you here. Can you tell us, Rachel, a little bit about open data standards, what they are, why we need them, where to find them?
Yes, of course. So civic open data standards, which is what my research focuses on, is basically standards that exist for open data, and they're very specific. And they have like a technical part, which my supervisor and I refer to as like a standard stack. So things such as like controlled vocabularies and their schema and unique identifiers would be part of that. But also very much these standards are applied to open data to make them more interoperable. And that situates kind of where government shares its data with civil society and the general public and developers of the data and data reusers.
Maybe we should back up for 1 second and do kind of a quick definition of what we mean when we say data standard. Just in case anybody out there in the listening audience doesn't know what that involves or what that is.
Right. Well, I mean, Andrew, you have a nice, short, catchy definition, I think, which is better than mine because I think too much about it.
I think there are a lot of sort of ways to come at this, and I really wanted to try to keep it simple and at my level of intelligence, which is not as high as others. So I think of standards in kind of three ways. One is kind of a schematic standard, and that involves things like the structure of the data and how perhaps information in several structures is related to each other. So if you have like relational tables in a database, those sort of all fall under the structural or the schematic side of things. And then I also think about standards as semantic, and those are where you have terms and definitions that you use continuously throughout the data. So an example of that is, the example that I commonly use for that is the FBI Unified Crime Reporting Standard, which defines very specific things for crimes like murder and assault and arson. And so what that does is it allows you to, if you have multiple sources for that data, multiple disparate sources for that data, it allows you to make sure that when you mean arson, it means the same thing in each of those places. So that's semantic. And then the last one that when I originally wrote about this, I didn't include it, but it's become, I think, also very important, and I call it atomic. And again, that's probably not the best word for it, but the idea that sort of single units of measurement are also very important. And so things like how do we define location and how do we make sure that location is defined consistently in our data? And so are we going to use things like a latitude and a longitude using WGS84, or are we going to use in the United States, are we going to use some sort of like state plane projection or something like that? So it's not quite atomic standards are not necessarily quite at the level of like useful for business purposes, but rather for elements that you bring together to deliver business purposes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I would also add that a standard, the difference between a standard and a specification would be a standard is something that is widely used and agreed upon. And it implements processes that require agreements by stakeholders.
So how did you get into researching and analyzing open data standards, Rachel? And what have you found as a result of that?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, when I went to the research, I didn't quite know what an open data standard was. This project initially began when I was working for GeoThink, which is a research partnership based in Canada, and they specialize in geospatial and open data. And I was, at the time, a student at McGill University, and I was starting in the summer of 2014. And basically, one of the grant's partners came to us asking for a catalog of standards that exist for open data and that her city could possibly adopt. So that's how it started, and that's the project I was put on. So it started actually a very tedious process of going through standards that exist specifically for open government data, cataloging them and writing short descriptions. And then from there, we got feedback on that. And the feedback was basically, it's not the most useful to approach it that way. So that's how we moved into like an indicator set and a dashboard feature that actually not only highlights what standards exist, but it goes one step further in terms of kind of evaluating each standard based on a like systematic set of metrics. So my job was to come up with those metrics, and it took the form of this huge unruly spreadsheet, and then that spreadsheet was eventually visualized. So
is that the birth of this online directory, Andrew?
It is. I had come across Rachel's work through some other research that I was doing and some other conversations that I was having on this topic. I mean, I didn't even know that this was happening at the time when I was sort of thinking about the civic data standards. And so I was very excited to realize somebody has not only kind of collected a list of this stuff, but also kind of systematically done some analysis on each one of the standards. And so we understand a little bit of the nature of things like GTFS or BLDS or what have you. And so, you know, when I finally was able to connect with Rachel, she showed me the work that she did. And I realized that this was a really, really awesome foundation for something that just didn't exist. I mean, you know, there is no place on the internet where you can go where you can find the appropriate data standard to use for a specific set of conditions, right? So if I'm a government and I want to publish data about my transit, you know, like bus schedules or train schedules or things like that, or fares or what have you, if I don't know that GTFS exists, how do I find that? And so that was kind of the thought process that I had. And so being able to kind of take that idea and combine it with Rachel's research and build that into a website was thrilling. And so we're pretty much there. We've got a site. So a lot of great work has happened in the meantime.
So how can people get to the site? And then what can they expect when they get there? And how can they help improve the site?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the site is obviously on the internet, and you can find it at datastandards.directory. And when you get to the site, we have a bunch of content around sort of the actual standards themselves, but then we also have some other supporting information, like what are standards and why are they valuable. But really the centerpiece is being able to quickly find a standard that is useful to you. And so you're presented first with a search bar where you can type in, you know, buildings or permits or fire. If what's also helpful is that there's an autocomplete there, so it'll sort of very quickly show you what things are matching your search term, and then you can kind of view a list of results, right? So I mean, sort of standard, you know, standard search engine type stuff. But the way it presents it is it gives you enough detailed information about each standard, and the idea is to help you make a decision. And so just as a quick example, if you're looking for transit standards, What you might not know is that there are actually several of them. There's one that's more predominant in the United States, and there's a different one that's predominant in Europe. And so part of our goal here is to try and present that information in a meaningful way, and in a way that helps you decide effectively which standard is the right one for you to use. And we also include a lot of other information around sort of the licensing and how, whether or not it's possible to contribute to changes in the standard. So there's a lot of kind of richer information about whether it's appropriate for use. Other pieces like, you know, how widely adopted it is, how well supported it is, and so on. So we're really thinking carefully about the kind of movement of open data standards. Try to be a hub for that and try to support the entire community a lot better. I think the other two pieces that I wanted to mention was we have about 60 or 65 standards on the site so far. Some of that is from Rachel's, of course, all of it is from Rachel's original research, but then we've also had two additional folks, Julia Kanzon and Nick Levy, who have spent a lot of time both developing the site and researching additional standards to add. And so we've got quite a collection there now, but I don't think that we have hit the entire universe of what's out there. And so we have facilities on the site for folks to suggest new standards. And also one of the things that we know for sure is that these standards and the communities around them change over time. And so we want people to be able to update the existing standards on the site as easily as possible. And so we have a place to do that as well. And the only comment I'll make about that is that it's not a direct community-based input mechanism, meaning so you don't sort of go to the site and edit it like a wiki and those changes will take effect immediately. We want to make sure that the content that we have there is sort of verified and trustworthy. And so we're going to have a little bit of a human process before we accept those submissions, partly because I think Rachel in particular has built this really fantastic foundation in terms of measurable things. And so we want to make sure that we are creating accurate measurements for all the different pieces of information that we capture about a standard.
Great. So, who do you think is your primary audience for this website?
So, I guess when I started the project, I of course was thinking about the city who was initially started with the project and kind of requested this research. But I'm starting to realize this is like a great tool for, like, beyond cities that are looking to adopt, like, other standards publishers, civil society organizations, developers, I think stakeholders who are really interested in making data accessible and at a wide scale would be able to use this inventory. And I hope it goes beyond what I even imagined it could be used for.
I mean, I think it's pretty exciting that it's already kind of an international effort since you're in Canada and Andrew is in the States. Have you guys thought about reaching out to other folks in other parts of the world to contribute?
We actually have standards from particularly from Europe, and particularly where we could discover English language standards, since all of us involved in the project so far are primarily English language speakers. I would definitely like to expand this site to include standards that are not necessarily native English. So there are a few. We actually do have a few Spanish language standards in the site now. I think we also have a lot of plans for the site going forwards in terms of, as you said, Sharon, kind of increasing towards a global community. There are a lot of opportunities well beyond the US, Europe, and Canada that we should be thinking about. And part of the next step of our effort is going to be figuring out how to drive that work forwards. I wanted to circle back to the kind of audience that we were talking about just really quickly, because I mean, I think we put some very specific effort. You'll notice that there's a beta logo on the site, and that's really deliberate. Like, we don't think of this as a finished product, and it's actually very much a work in progress. Excuse me. It's very much a work in progress. And We are also eager to have people, it's an open source site, so people are able to contribute, make code contributions to the platform and propose changes to the code that we would then be able to accept and have go live. So if there's functionality on the site that people don't like or they want to enhance, there's a pathway for that to happen. The other thing is that when we designed it, we were aiming for what I would call a minimum viable product. And so we basically identified two personas or two kind of groups of people that we wanted to target with this first version of the site. And then those two people were the decision makers in cities who were publishing open data and needed to figure out how to make their open data align with a standard. And so, you know, how do they find those standards and how do they sort of get the next steps in terms of publishing their data for that? But also the standards makers themselves, you know, folks like the folks who support BLDS or the folks who support Lives, helping them kind of spread the word about the fact that their standard exists is something that this site could do very well. And so our approach was, let's support those two audiences first. And so I think we've gotten kind of a long way towards doing that. And then as we move forwards, we'll be identifying additional personas and expanding the capabilities of the site to support them as well. Part of what I would like to do actually is have people have resources for developing standards that don't exist yet. And there's a number of channels for that to happen and a number of ways for that to happen. And so kind of identifying, you know, what are the three or four most commonly used methods for that, and what are the trade-offs for those, and then pointing people in directions of getting started down those pathways is, I think, something that would also be valuable for us to work on. So a little bit of the visionary stuff there, but yeah.
Yeah, to what extent has this doing a centralized inventory of these standards sort of revealed the gaps in the availability of standards?
I think what you see is you see some duplication of efforts and then you see some total gaps that exist, depending on what kind of data set you're looking at. So I think when I was doing the project, and it's probably even grown since then, but there were like numerous standards for budget data, which I, you know, it was surprising to see that, more than one existed. And then on the other side of things, zoning data sets, it was very hard to find any standard that existed that crossed jurisdictional boundaries. So yeah, I think there's something about those kinds of data sets that are more susceptible to standardization than others. And I think that's kind of an interesting discovery.
So was there an opportunity in this then for folks who are maybe more on the programmatic policy side than the data side to be thinking about standardization and how it applies to their area of expertise?
Maybe. I mean, I don't, I'm not sure. I think that's an interesting question. I've never thought about it in that way. I think standards are really interesting because it's always a balance. So you'll have a lot of people who are demanding standardization to the max, pretty much, to really pull meaning from the data. And then you'll have people who just want more flexibility and don't pursue standardization as much. So I think that balance is really tricky, and I think that's probably something that policymakers have to juggle.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's probably important to acknowledge that there's a subset of data publishers that don't care about standards at all. And there are another subset that do.
Definitely.
And I think we have a little bit of a mission to try and convince the ones that don't, that they should. And we also have a little bit of a mission for those who believe in data standards to prove that they actually really are valuable, because I think at the moment it's kind of early faith. We definitely see value in standards like GTFS, which help us get around, and I think newer emergence of practices such as open contracting or even open referral are proving a lot of value. But there are a lot of other standards out there that there isn't really a huge amount of incentive to for data publishers to take on. And so I think that's also part of the thing that we want to show with this site is like, you know, somebody's developed a standard, but it doesn't really have a lot of adoption. And let's try to figure out why that's the case and help improve the way standards develop and evolve so that they can be more successful. And so this can also serve as a little bit of a research platform for that as we kind of start to understand the history of things and track changes going forwards. But in my view, and going back to sort of the very first question in at the beginning of this, it was, you know, standards are a way to scale open data in a way that's not possible currently. It makes it easier for governments or whoever to publish data and pretty much immediately work with existing tools to either analyze or interpret or provide, better human access to data. And on the flip side, it also allows us to sort of aggregate stuff at scale and understand how things are working across jurisdictions and be able to do compares and contrasts. And so for folks that are interested in benchmarking, what they're doing in their cities or in their counties or in their states or in their nations, using standards to be able to compare between is incredibly valuable.
Terrific. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Rachel Bloom and Andrew Nicklin for joining us this week. If you want more information on what we discussed today, please check out this episode's show notes for helpful links, or just remember datastandards.directory. As Andrew said, we are looking forward to hearing your feedback and input on the new site, so we would love to hear from you. You can also stay connected with GovX on Twitter and Instagram at gov_ex, or by checking out our website at govx.jhu.edu. Thanks for listening. Join us next time to find out where the data points.